heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me do a little infomercial first. We have some books back there. They're little short books. One of them is called Clothed in the Armor of God. It's about Ephesians chapter 6. Really, really good. Really insightful. Very helpful. Very practical. And this, our Advent devotional book, Advent will begin not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. And there are 24 days, and there are 24 devotionals here. It's very practical. Really, there's some great things, some prayers that you can add to part of your prayer life every day, and some cool stuff, insight into intimacy, walk with the Lord. It's called Mary, the Most Favored Woman That Ever Lived. It just came out a week or so ago. It's also $5. But this is a great time for any time of year, but it's particularly built to be an Advent devotional. Alrighty, it'll really help you walk through. We used to, years ago, buy devotionals. It's hard to find good Advent devotional. Even though I wrote it, this is a sensational Advent devotional, so you might want to enjoy that. I'm going to use it as my Advent devotional daily. I'm going to share something from Genesis, though. This won't be part of the book, so I'll make Karen feel better. In the book that we're writing, Genesis 3 is part of it, but this is not in there. This is actually in Genesis 4. And just my devotional time with the Lord this morning in prayer, I really felt like the Lord said, why don't you just continue on in Genesis? See some things I want to speak to you. So I just started in Genesis 4. There's a lot of wonderful things here, but there's one thing in particular I wanted you to see that I just think is significant that we all deal with at time to time in our walk with the Lord. It's one of those places that if you get past that hurdle, then you really advance quickly. And that hurdle may be thrown up to you several times in your lifetime, but if you get past that one, there's an advancement that happens really fast. Let me just read to you beginning in verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. He became angry and depressed, sad. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, if you do the right thing, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. In verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is your Abel, your brother? Not like God didn't know. This is a lot like what happened in chapter 3 when he was asking Adam and Eve questions. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? He knew all that. He just wanted them to own it. He says, where is Abel, your brother? And he said to him, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God said, what have you done? He just wanted to hear it. The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And then he goes on and on. One of the sad realities was that it cost him the presence of the Lord. If you go on and read verse 16. Some neat things here. One, the fact that Cain offered an offering to God that was the work of his hands. His own self thing. Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Obviously, God had made it very clear by what he had done to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness when he killed the animal and then sewed garments and covered them, that blood sacrifice was what he looked for in terms of covering sin until the Lamb of God would come and take sin away. He never is going to receive your plan, your self-effort, your deal. It's always grace. But the interesting thing to me here is God didn't reject Cain. He rejected his action. He basically said no to him in terms of what he was offering. And God wouldn't have done that if Cain didn't know that what he was offering wasn't what God wanted, but he wanted to give it to God because it was his thing. God's not going to take your thing, your plan, your stuff. And then God looks at him and he says, because he was angry. He was angry because God told him no to what he wanted to do and the way he wanted it done. And then he said he got depressed because he wanted it his way and God wanted it God's way. And so God told him no. He got angry. He got depressed. Has that ever happened to you before in your life? When God's ever said no to what you wanted? And this is like one of those hurdles. Again, if you can get past that hurdle, you'll advance rapidly in the Lord. And that's why God looked at him and asked him the question. He says, why are you angry? Because he cared about Cain. And he knew the place he was in was a dangerous one. He says, why are you angry and why are you sad and depressed? If you do well, the word there, if you do the right thing, if you do my will not your countenance be lifted up? It's interesting. He's saying to Cain, the reason you're sad isn't because of anything other than the fact that you're not doing my will. You're saying no to what I've said yes to. You're saying yes to what I've said no to, and that's caused you to be angry and depressed. For us as believers, that's always the deal. Whenever I step outside of God's will, no matter what it is, that causes my countenance to fall. If I'm angry because God won't let me have what I want, it's not God's problem. It's not God's fault that I'm depressed and angry. It's because I'm not doing the right thing. It's really important to hear that. And God looked at him, he says, if you'll do the right thing, your heart will be happy again. I mean, then it goes back to the enemy's deception. Now, if you do, let me tell you what's the right thing, and they did the wrong thing, it didn't work out really well, and it happens again and again. I mean, you're all susceptible to that. He says, if you do the right thing, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do the right thing, sin is crouching at the door. That's a powerful statement. It's like a prey, like not prey, but what's the word? This goes after prey. Predator. Sin's like a predator. There's a predator crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. Wants you, wants your life. But you must master it. This is a critical time in Cain's life and an opportunity for him. God said, you don't have to be depressed. If you'll do the right thing, if you'll just start walking in my will again, your countenance will be lifted up. And he said, but you need to understand what's at stake here. Sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you. Its desire isn't that you'll just do the wrong thing. Its desire is for you. He wants you. And he says, but you must master it. And then, of course, Cain didn't, because the next thing he did was worse than the first thing. The first thing he did was rebel and wanted to do things his way, and God said no. And because he didn't come to grips with that issue, that it wasn't God's fault or anybody else's fault, because he was depressed and angry, is because God said no, is because of his own rebellion. And God said, and because he didn't master that sin that was crouching at the door, this is really what's going on, it's always what was going on, his next thing he did was much worse than the first thing that he did. And the consequences were horrible. He said, well, what about the grace of God? The grace of God was there going, Cain, you don't do this. Sin is crouching at the door. That's the grace of God. Now, if you read the chapter on, if you keep reading the rest of the chapter, the consequences are pretty severe, and Cain was concerned. He said, well, if people see me wandering around, they're going to just kill me. And God said, no. There was this called the sign of Cain, and they'll see the sign, and they'll know not to kill you. Because if anybody kills you, it'll come back to them seven times. It was grace. He said, there's a place of protection and grace. But you stepped out of the place where you could know all that God intended for you. That's really a serious word, but it's real. God's grace will do everything in the world to jiggle our willer. But in the end, there are two trees in the middle of the garden. Because God honors choice. He wants us to love him. We're not spiritual robots. I just think that's a powerful word because I think of times in my life. Now, I understand the consequences of some things are worse than others, but how many times in my life where God has said no, just by circumstances or through other people or whatever, and if I get angry, there's something going on more than me just not getting what I wanted, and sin's crouching in the door, and God says, Chuck, you better master this, because if you don't, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. This is about the enemy wanting you. Amen? Amen. All right, a serious word for a Monday. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit.